New study looked at by the the study's out of Stanford, and it looked at the Oakland Police Department. But the researchers say, look, this is a problem for probably police departments in, all over the country. What it finds is that police are less respectful towards black drivers than white drivers during routine traffic stops. Bobby Kimbrough is with us. Bobby Kimbrough Jr., he's a law enforcement expert, a man who spent an entire career, finished his career at the Justice Department, is the author of the book called Surviving the Stop. So he really knows a lot about these situations. Bobby, great to have you on WILS.
It's great to be back with you. Thank you, sir, for the work that you do.
Yeah, great to have you back here. For people that don't know your career, give me a quick synopsis of your career in law enforcement.
Well, I started with the local police department in North Carolina, worked with the state police department, and spent the last 22-plus years as a special agent with the U.S. Department of Justice.
And Bobby, when you see a study like this, do you believe that police officers treat black drivers with less respect than white drivers?
Of course, it's not something that happens every day, but it happens many days across America without question. I mean, that's the thing that most of us know that our country is divided. Most of us know that racism exists in our country, but for some reason, we don't want to have real conversation about fixing the problem.
Okay, I should be specific, because what they viewed as disrespectful was phrases like, quote, "All right, my man, do me a favor, just keep your hands on the steering wheel real quick," versus phrases that they thought as being respectful, which were things like, "Sorry to stop you, my name is Officer Blank with the police department." Is it disrespectful to ask somebody to keep their hands on the wheel?
Well, see, it's a way you do it. I mean, we know the way you view an individual reflects on how you treat them and how you talk to them. If that same individual, that same driver was somewhere stopping someone that mirrors them, the conversation would be totally different. You should respect people regardless of what you think their culture may be. You need to show them the same respect that you would want somebody to show your father or your mother.
Okay, but you're saying the phrase is not disrespectful, it's the tone, is that it?
I think that it's disrespectful when you think you wanted to speak to me in a way that you wouldn't speak to someone else. For example, you should address every motorist, regardless of color or race, with a certain amount of respect. It's how you say things sometimes that take us down that path.
So why would police officers be less respectful towards black drivers, you think?
I mean, if we're going to be transparent about it, policing in America forever has been a male, Caucasian-dominated profession. And a lot of times when we look at law enforcement, we look at how America views blacks or people of color in America, it hasn't always been given a fair look. And that translates and it carries over in every profession, especially in law enforcement. If you look at the television or how it's viewed 48 hours, every episode is viewed in either a poverty-stricken Hispanic or black. And I understand what people program into their eyes, into their minds, it translates into their actions. Our forefathers had it right when they said, we the people for the people.
Right.
United we stand.
And Bobby, I should know, because we've talked many times in the past, and you've told me about the many times you've been pulled over yourself where the officer doesn't know that you yourself are in law enforcement. Do you feel you're treated differently by a black officer who pulls you over versus a white officer?
Of course. I mean, not every time, but for the most, yes. I was at the post office today, in my sweats and my flip-flops, and a lady was looking for directions standing outside a U.S. post office in my hometown of North Carolina, and I was Googling where the Bank of America that she was trying to find was located, and two people came up to her and asked her, was she all right? Did she need help? And I said, yes, she's fine. I'm trying to locate something for her. They saw in a white suburb, a black man with a 5 o'clock shadow nerves on his face, beard, and flip-flops, a woman looked to be about 70 plus 80, elderly female, talking to a black male. He wanted to know if she all right in front of a U.S. post office. So we have to be blind or not living here to realize that we have a problem, and we've got to address it. We've got to address it.
How do you address that, though? So people are seeing something, and what do you think is going on in their minds when they see you interacting with this lady?
People hear with their eyes. People, everything about us, we see it. Yeah. We shop with our eyes. everything about us is generation sight. We got to change how we view people. We got to go in and reprogram that computer we call the brain.
They thought that you were somehow going to what? What was it that they were concerned about?
Well, in their eyes, from the two gentlemen that stopped me, they were older gentlemen, older than I am, and I'm 50 plus. They, in their mind, he was an elderly woman talking to a black man who looks like he needs a shave, has on flip-flops. He has his phone out. Is that her phone? Is that his phone? What they saw, they probably came to several conclusions. But what I was doing was Googling on my phone to locate something that she was needing help for that they didn't help her in the post office because the guy said, I don't have a phone book to look for,
so
ma'am.
Bobby Kimbrough with us, by the way, 1320 WILS. Do you get offended personally when this kind of thing happens?
I get offended because I understand. The same time I get offended because I've spent the last 30 years of my life serving a country that is mine just as well as it is the next person. But I understand how we got to this place. That's why I'm spending the next years, whatever God allows me, to try to help some people, law enforcement, change the training that we do, is that we all have biases. We've got to learn that we can't police stereotypes. We got to police individuals.
Yeah, so when you've been pulled over just driving around as a civilian, are you typically asked to keep your hands on the wheel?
No, when I'm stopped, I quickly say, sir, I'm armed, sir, I'm a retired agent, because I don't want any mistakes to happen, because I travel all over the country doing training, surviving the stop, surviving the shield. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in my hometown, so people don't know me when they see me in other places. So I make sure I tell them who, what, when, where, and why.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Kimbrough, the book, by the way, is Surviving the Stop. And well, what is your recommendation to someone who feels they're being spoken to in a disrespectful manner by a police officer?
My suggestion is always show the officer, and I know it's hard, even though you feel you're being disrespected, always rise above, always show that officer the utmost respect. Because if there's a problem, you can always file a grievance with that officer. But if it goes to an altercation and loss of life, you'll never get a chance to file a grievance. So always stay professional. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even when you feel you're being disrespectful, always stay, yes, sir, remain professional. Or yes, not to be sir, but yes. Always stay above the fray.
Yeah, I say yes, sir, to a police officer. Is there a problem with that?
No, I think it's great. But, you know, sometimes what I've learned in traveling around the country, people feel that when you say sir, you're dumbing down and you're being submissive. So, yes, is what I teach people. Say yes. If you're uncomfortable saying yes, sir, I say yes, sir, to people younger than I am. Just a sign of respect. You know, it changes the atmosphere, changing the, you know, the whole interaction.
Yeah, how much is the reaction of the officer, though, related to the way the driver is reacting to the officer, in the sense of if an officer feels he's being disrespected, things will change very quickly?
Everything in life is a behavior and experience, being me. You and I interacting, you treat me a certain way, you give me an experience based on my behavior. If you go in any store in America, you get an experience based on your behavior. Everything about life is based on the experience and the behavior. Okay. So if you give officer attitude and behavior, you're probably going to have an experience that you don't want, i.e. a ticket, citation, arrest, and the list goes on and on.
So when you see a study that says officers are less respectful towards black drivers, how much of that do you think has to do with the interaction itself, not necessarily a one-way street?
Everything is relevant. Everything is relevant. But what I think is that an officer is a professional. He is above the motorist that he stopped. The taxpayers pay him to be above the motorist that he stopped. The taxpayers pay him to, you know what, I'm going to be professional regardless. Even if it comes to an altercation, even if it comes to whatever, I'm going to remain professional and under control. I've got to manage my emotions under pressure regardless. Mm-hmm. Even if I have to go to hands-on, I'm going to be under control doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I guess if you're being disrespectful, there's very little chance the officer is going to let you go without a ticket, though, right? That's not going to happen.
Oh, without question. Because in his mind, he's saying, okay, you know, you're being disrespectful, you're rude to me, hurry up, this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, he or she, the officer, is going to win. Hmm. They're going to win.
So when you, Bobby Kimbrough, by the way, right here on WILS, Bobby Kimbrough Jr. So the book is Surviving the Stop. So Bobby, if you're talking to police officers, how do you tell them to approach black motorists? Should they deal that differently than when they deal with white motorists?
here's what I tell police officers when we go around the country during the training, is that first I want you to survive the stop. I want you to survive that shield, that job called policing, law enforcement. But when you stop a motorist, don't assume or think because he's black or if you stop somebody of a different race that you ain't going to get dead, because dead is dead regardless of who pulls the trigger, regardless of the race. It does not matter. What you do is you treat every motorist with a certain level of respect regardless of color.
Yeah.
You don't police an individual. You don't police, you police the individual, not the stereotype. I'm going to police you, not the stereotype, so, whether you're green.
But, Bobby, putting aside here's what I want to know. When you talk to these police officers about these issues, do they feel differently? Do they tell you that they feel differently when approaching a black motorist versus a white motorist?
See, one thing about when I go to police department or policing is, I don't want to say a boys club, but if you've never done it, someone talking to them who's never done it or traffic stop, they don't have much respect for that. So when I come and I share with them my life experience and what they receive that differently. But here's what we got to do across America.
Here's what I'm asking. Do they acknowledge, do they tell you that we have approached the drivers differently based on race?
In private settings, when I talk to people outside of the classroom or I talk to guys, they'll say, you know, of course it exists. You know it and I know it. But here's what, you can't come right out and say, yes, this culture exists in my department and you still work there. You'll be ostracized and you'll probably be reprimanded and you'll probably be looking for a new job.
Yeah.
So a lot of police officers, while they're working in the ranks, they can't speak freely.
Yeah.
There are certain things as an agent when I was employed the government that I could not say.
Because it would have meant the end of what? You wouldn't have been thrown out of your job, would you?
Didn't know what it was I said. That's why, you know, when you see these hearings where they talk about classified, people speaking about classified information, top secret information, things like that, there's a reason for that.
Okay.
You can't be free if I'm working for the entity that pays my bill.
That makes sense. So is that what keeps good officers from reporting bad officers when they know? I mean, is that part of what's
of
keeping
them? Of course.
Okay.
Of course that's a factor, because think about it. You couldn't speak against the radio station that you work for, even if you disliked them. You couldn't come on the air and say, hey, the advertising prices here are too high. You can go across town and get lower prices. No.
Right. Yeah, but yeah, in my situation, it's not causing people harm, right? I mean, I guess it's a quandary, because if you're a good police officer, you know that people are actually being hurt by some of these bad officers, right?
You know, I have conversations with retired officers all over the country. Black, white, Chinese, whatever. And they'll tell you the same thing that I'm about to tell you, is that it takes place where you have officers that are what they call whistleblowers that will stand up. Justice Department had one several years ago. It takes a tall kind of guy to stand up and face that regardless. In a police department where they know something is going on wrong, normally they close ranks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just factual and that's true. They close ranks.
Look, Bobby, as always, we don't have enough time, but we'll have you on to talk
again. Pleasure's mine, always is.
Bobby Kimbrough Jr., the book is Surviving the Stop. Find him at bobbykimbrough.com. Bobby Kimbrough Jr. on WILS. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you. Yep.